Good morning, New Eden. Today is August 3rd, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-host is Nightflyer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. And we have a very special guest today, Frozen. Good morning.
Yes, we are... Oh, you know what? I have in the background... Why did I hear myself in the background?
That was me.
Okay. I was like, wait, what's going on here? Okay. Sorry about that. So we are doing a really special interview here. Rico Shikokin. Shikokin.
It doesn't matter. It's an Eve name.
We'll get there by the end of the stream.
It'll be Rico is joining us here. You're running for CMS. Tell us a little bit about Rico. What corporation alliance are you in right now?
I'm currently in IRED, which is a Kaldari aligned faction warfare group. So I fly as part of an Australian time zone called Cariola's Legacy, named after the ship which crashed into Galente Prime.
Little lore history that we got there.
Oh yeah, we like our little nods to the lore, that sort of thing. I quite like the story and like getting into it sort of thing. So that's one of the reasons we went with that name.
Awesome. So tell us, how did you get involved in EVE Online?
Oh man, it was a while ago now, but I seem to remember like just seeing stuff online about it, like. How complicated it was, spreadsheets in space, which ordinarily would put people off a game, but to me I was like, oh, that sounds so cool. I just sort of went from there. I used to play a game called Evercron Mercenary. It's quite an old one, and I was looking for something that was going to be the next version of that, and I forgot what it's called now, the big project, the one that's got loads of funding and hasn't delivered much. Star Citizen, that's the one, sorry.
Loads of money hasn't delivered much. Star Citizen!
There we go, yeah. So, you know, like, I was one of the original backers for that, and it's like, yeah, it's only recently that you can even actually get into the game, so between then and now, I was like, right, I need something else, and I found EVE Online, so.
Awesome, so what year was that?
Oh, God. I've probably been playing for about 3 years now, so maybe 2020.
You're newer then, actually.
Yes, I am reasonably new. The way I like to frame it, though, is like I'm not so old that I've forgotten what it's like to be new to EVE, but I'm not so new that I don't know anything about the game.
So you're at the perfect time of not a bitter vet yet, but you know, got a good grasp on what the game holds and everything. So you're running for CSM. Are you coming to FanFest?
I'm not, unfortunately. It's a bit pricey, and unfortunately, I'm not in a situation where I can afford to fly to Iceland. Sorry.
Oh well, I was hoping we might be able to hang up because this is my first year that I'm going. So.
Oh, nice.
Same with Nightflyer too. I believe that's your
first
year.
So.
Hey, maybe another year we can meet up.
That'd absolutely, cool. Absolutely. So you got into EVE Online. What was the first stuff that you about 3 years ago, so 2020, what was like one of the first things that you sought out to do in EVE Online?
Hauling. I know that sounds dull, but like I got myself, I did some like, you know, the basic missions, the career stuff to like get some ISK, and then I bought myself a Terra. And then I started chipping stuff around because I found like some tools that let you look at the markets in different places, and I was like hopping stuff between, and that's when I got my really harsh lesson about this is EVE. because like when I first started the game, I was under the impression that, oh, people will blow you up if you're carrying something valuable to steal, but if you're just in an empty ship, no one's going to blow you up, right? Yeah, well, anyone who's played EVE for more than a month will know that, yeah, that happened. So actually, I almost gave up at that point, but then some guy, like, on the Rookie Help channel, bless him, he really helped me out. He gave me the massive 6 million ISK that I lost, and, helped me out from there. So that was the first thing I did. Then I got sniped into a corp that was designed to scam new bros.
Oh, no!
That started out, I didn't fall for it, fortunately, because, like... Like, you know when something sounds too good to be true, and you just look at it and go, No. So like they were trying to sell shares and offering like really big returns, and I was like,
oh yeah,
that's not sustainable. So I didn't buy any. But, yeah.
Awesome. So then from there, did you go into faction warfare? What happened after that?
Yeah, so after that Nubro Scam Corp eventually fell apart, because, you know, you can only keep it up for so long, a group of the inverted commas survivors got together and we made our little LoSec group. It wasn't faction warfare at the time, it was just living in LoSec. I think we're in Fasse or something, so good high sec connections. That lasted for a while, but as you'll see as a recurring theme, whenever I join a corp, it doesn't seem to last very long, because that one also fell apart. and then from there, it was like, I really found wormholes interesting, like the whole concept of like it's your home, you get different connections all the time. So then it was hop straight into a C5 corp.
Okay.
So
what'd you think of wormhole life?
It's a mixed bag, right? If you got the numbers in the wormhole and the scanning isn't all on like one person, it's quite fun. But if there's not that many people, it can be a bit of a chore sometimes, like having to scan down the chain, that kind of thing. And then some nights, like, it's a bit miserable, like if you've scanned all that down, you just find no content. Or like, someone really wants to do a particular type of content, and that content means we need to keep the hole closed, basically, so no one else can do anything. So yeah, it was a mixed bag. Like, I did really enjoy the random connections to different places, but also it's a double-edged sword for me, and that's... Ultimately, I left Wormhole Space to go to Faction Warfare. I actually went back for a little bit and then back to Faction Warfare, and I think I'm probably finished with Wormhole Space, but, you know, we never know what the future holds.
Right, yeah, no, you never say never in EVE, for sure.
Exactly.
So you got into Faction Warfare, and this was, so you were involved in Faction Warfare before all the big changes that came.
That's right, yes.
Okay, yeah. So what did you think of the transition, the change between what was before the rework and what we've got now?
Actually, so for the most part, I've really liked most of the changes. And I think CCP did a really good job at looking at what the problems were and then fixing those. So I think the frontline system is really good for concentrating players into certain systems rather than having everyone just spread out across the war zone. The getting rid of the, you know, if you have more systems, like you get more LP, like that just encourage faction switching, encourage snowballing of like the faction that was winning. I think that was a very good change. The advantage system is interesting, but I think it could do with a bit more looking at the running rendezvous sites is not the most exciting thing to do, but yeah. The other change that came was the ship caster, of course. And to me, that was a massive disappointment.
I have to agree 100%. I mean, massive failure. A bunch of potential concept-wise, but then, I mean, making it so you can just blow it up, like, without hardly anything, you know, very little time to respond to it. And then it drops you in a very specific spot. So it calls for being camped anyways. I don't know. What else did you think of the...
From a story point of view, it doesn't make that much sense to me. Like, you know, we needed to get this Triglavian tech, we needed to build the Stellar Transmuter, all of that, and I was thinking, wow, this is going to be something cool and new, and like the whole corp thought that, like, and we grinded this event really hard, because like this is going to be game change, it's going to be massive, and then it was a technology that the Empire's already had anyway, which is basically like Titan bridging, but you just start in high sec.
Yeah, that was a massive letdown. I didn't do much of the events leading up to it. I had focused more on the PvP aspect in that. But yeah, it sounds like that would be if you'd like dedicated a bunch of time to doing. I mean, you got some good rewards for a little bit, you know, to a certain degree for doing it. But yeah, the like end result of it just being like, yeah, you can fling ships into, you know, frontline systems, basically, was. You know, that's it, because I thought that there was going to be, like, you know, changing the, like, different effects that you could have inside the system, because it was the transmuter seemed to, you know, have that kind of technology and concept that's new to the game, you know, oh, if you want to make it so it's easier on shield ships here or whatever, you know, like, just like all the wormhole stuff that we've got and the pistol stuff and bring it to LoSAC and possibly 0.0 and stuff like that. Like, you know,
that would have been really interesting because that's a new technology in the game universe, right? And it fits in a lot better with the story. So like anything apart from what we ended up with.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they talked about there was like certain rules and stuff like that regarding 0.0 on it and stuff like that, and then it, I mean, it's definitely not a 0.0 technology that's going to be used, you know. I mean, they've already got their jump bridges and stuff like that. Like, that's, yeah, so that was a big disappointment. But I do have to say that the new recent patch has been really good. I like that they're continuing to iterate upon you know, faction warfare, and, you know, kind of rein in a few things. You know, we're gonna make it so that backline systems are shit for LP for real now, not just kind of maybe a little bit worse. No, it's like, no, nobody wants to ever do a backline system.
Oh, they do. Just to be clear, no, not for LP, but yeah, sometimes tactically it's worth doing a backline system.
And that's fine, you know, and that's what you want those backline systems for, is, you know, tactically go back there and throw an ult that's doesn't got anything in it, and he just goes and runs it down and tries to hold down the system for you. But the frontline systems is where all the real action is, and it really made it so that you can't just farm LP and backline systems. So I thought that was really good.
Agreed.
But yeah, the changing of the LP, or how valuable, you know, bigger flexes are, I think that was a good change. And yeah, there's a lot of really good continuing to iterate upon faction warfare. So if you got into CSM, what is the specific things that you'd be advocating to change in faction warfare?
Yeah, so I think one of the big things is the amount of LP you get for battlefields versus the amount of LP you get for actually flipping a system. So battlefields pay out way too much for just how easy or relatively easy they are to do. And like, you know, if you've ever done a battlefield, you'll find like there's 30 empty frigates that just sort of come in for the LP only as well. Mm-hmm. But flipping a system, which actually is a lot more dangerous because there's no gate into it, you're probably going to get dropped by snuffed. And for like your faction that you're fighting for, it's a bigger event because you're actually flipping a system. That really doesn't pay much. And I think there just needs to be a little bit of a rebalance, because since these updates as well, we've seen a continuous decrease in the value, at least of Kaldari Militia LP, since these updates were brought in. And I think it might be due to a bit of a oversupply caused by things like battlefields. So a rebalancing of that. And then, of course, as we mentioned, Shipcaster, like a rework for it to do something cool and new rather than just jumping. And even in story-wise, that could be framed as, oh, initially this is like the first stage of testing to think if we could do the jumping part, and then, like, you know, now it's gone up to the next level and we can change the properties of systems or whatever.
Awesome. Yeah. And is there anything that you have opinion on regarding the battlefields that are defensive and offensive technically? So like if a Galente goes in and it's a 2%, you know, contested Galente owned system, we get nothing for our LP basically. And so, but if it's an offensive system, it doesn't matter how contested it is, you get that full payout. I've been hearing people say that, you know, there's a large disincentive to actually go contest battlefields that are worth nothing LP wise. Do you have any feelings on that?
I mean, it's the same as deplexing systems, right? Like, if you try and deplex a system, you get paid less than if you're oplexing, and that encourages...
But if you're defensive plexing, you have no interference from the rat. So it's really easy to defensive plex.
Yes.
And therefore, the reason why it's easier, or why it's less payout, or it's based upon how contested it is, the idea is that it's a much simpler task. Battlefields have no difference. You know, it's just as hard to run a battlefield that's offensive or defensive than it is offensive.
And truth be told, I do think that one of the changes I would like to see is changing the way plexes actually work, so people can't just like deplex in empty hulls, because I don't think that's particularly exciting. At which point, if those sort of changes are brought in, I suppose realistically, there's no difference between oplexing and deplexing, so maybe they should pay the same.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. That is something that I've been kind of advocating on the Federation Frontline podcast here, that, you know, we get rid of defensive and offensive. There's flexing. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an offensive or defensive. And maybe, you know, having a defensive or offensive front line can change some things with the system itself, or, you know, maybe there's more NPC rats that are like gate camping and stuff. Like, I've seen some of that start coming in just before the faction warfare changes happened, where Yvangir was always filled with a bunch of NPC Galente rats, you know, like they were gearing up for like an invasion into Losec. And I'd like to see more, you know, interactions of the NPCs doing stuff with each other would be kind of more interesting, because that's kind of what the battlefield was supposed to be, but it's kind of just chugged down into just get a battle cruiser rat and, you know, sit there and wait for the timer to tick down.
Yeah, I also think, like, in order for that to also be a good idea, we need to rework the plexes a bit as well. That right now, it's too easy to escape from a plex. And one thing that was really interesting about the ship caster event was those sites had rats that would scram you, for example. So getting away from the sites, it wasn't just a case of sit there, be aligned, and press D-scan over and over again. And then constant disappointment as you slide in and the guy just gets away with no effort at all. Now, I'm not saying copy and paste those sort of sites that we had for Shipcaster, but maybe bring in the idea that, you know, there's a hostile and a friendly rat, maybe in certain ratios depending if you're O-plexing and D-plexing, but those rats have scrams or something like that to actually make plexing risky.
I've had this conversation actually a lot with people over time. You know, I've been in faction warfare pretty much since the beginning. I loved the idea of faction warfare when it first came out. Got involved in it quite heavily, and then went to a goon party, and ended up because my city that I live in used to have two parties a year that goons used to throw that were huge events for them, and got sucked away from faction warfare. But I always gravitated back to it because I love the whole just forever war, constant, you know, fighting that's just always going on. That's what the whole focus of it is, you know, besides the ist making that can be kind of made, which I think they did a really good job of like changing that out. But yeah, I think that the big idea of having the rats scram is, it's a two-edged sword basically on that. On the one side, it would be a little bit more terrifying to go into a plex to actually run it. Because if the rat was actually pointing you, you definitely can't just run away when a gang of people come in to destroy it. But it also encourages you to have a little bit higher alpha and damage concept of just get rid of the rat as quickly as possible, because there's still a lot of downtime where you wouldn't get scrammed.
Exactly.
But I think the biggest complaint that people have, and it's a real big balancing act, is how much do we want to focus on the PvE aspect of faction warfare, and how much do we want to focus on the PvP aspect? And right now, with the way that the offensive rats are, at the very, like, defensive plexes are shit. Like, that's where you really get the, you know, empty Tristan or Atron or whatever, you know, that just sits inside of the plex. It doesn't even matter if it gets blown up. I mean, it's, you know,
I mean,
not
guilty.
Even a million
I've done that
hits.
Myself.
Yeah, and so those are really stupid. But at this point in time, you have to kind of concentrate a little bit on, you know, DPS. Actually, you know, if you're short range, you got to get within range of the rat to blow it up, which pulls you away from the entry point and stuff like that. If you add in that next level of it points you, it becomes one of those, like, now you're, if you don't do the PvE activity extremely quickly, there's going to be, you know, kill the rat as quickly as possible, there's going to be a lot more chance of getting caught by somebody that's with a gang of people. Now, the 1v1, I think, that would help that to a certain degree, but it would add in a little bit more complexity to the getting jumped by gangs, which is a lot more. There's a lot more gangs out there right now. Faction warfare used to be a lot more about the solo interactions that happened, and now that we've got front lines, it's much more about small gang interactions. So I think that there is a delicate balancing act there, but I've leaned more towards the idea over time as saying, like, let's get some pointing rats in here. And I agree that, yeah, take out the offense and defense, put two rats in there, have them shooting at each other. They can't kill each other. Their DPS is shit and their tanks are awesome. So, you know, jump in and then, yeah, one of them breaks away, starts trying to scram and hold you down. I think that would be an awesome change for sure. But yeah, I've definitely talked about this a lot with people. So,
and I do agree it is a bit of a balancing act as well, because you don't want there to be no escape from the plexes, but as I mentioned, as it stands right now, it's really easy. Like, if as long as you're watching D-scan and you've aligned somewhere, like, you can be out before people go in, guaranteed, which means as part of the risk calculation, like, there's pretty much no risk. Like, you know, unless you're really bad and you're going to get caught pretty easily, but as long as you're aligned somewhere, ready to warp, as soon as you see someone on short, go.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely... I think, yeah, I agree that it would be... I think it's better than the idea that people have of you can't warp at all with if you're in capture point range, which they kind of have for, like, the bank robbing that happens.
Yeah, look, there's no bubbles in LoSec, and I don't think we should bring bubbles to LoSec. Like, there's other mechanics to do that, and I think this idea of having... Even if, right, let's say the rat scrams, but we then nerf the armor or the shield, whatever, of the rat such that it's easier to kill. I think that, you know, it's a balancing act, right, of trying to make it, you know, not impossible to escape, but harder to escape, so you need to factor that in. And also, like, you know, if you're looking at local and you see lots of people there, maybe it's not a good idea to go into a plex, but if you don't see anyone in local, maybe you can think, okay, maybe I've got enough time before they find me and come warp in to, like, kill a rat and get off.
Yeah, no, I agree, definitely. So you sounds like you have a little bit of wormhole experience back in your day. Have you done any 0.0 activities?
No, truth be told, right, the group I've, because our corporation recently joined IRED, and so this is, like, going to be my first venture into NullSec, but it's not, it's, what's it, NPC NullSec, so it's not even, like, the big block stuff, so it is a weakness of mine, I openly admit it. I haven't got much experience with it at all. But, you know, I've listened to lots of other people talking about it, so I know some of the hot topics right now, but I can't really contribute to it because I've obviously got very little experience with it. And, yeah, I'm, you know, I don't want to just say things. Like, it's important to have good knowledge to back up what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you don't have a side on the whole Ansiplex argument.
So I understand.
Just fine,
like,
I don't either.
I think I understand both sides, and I think so. What appealed to me was that, I forgot who suggested it. I'm really sorry, but someone suggested that actually, instead of, like, nerfing these things or, like, removing them from a game, we should introduce the concept of counterplay. So, like, they suggested, like, the ability to shut them off with, like, hacking or something.
I read that Reddit post
or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, there was, like maybe a special T2 battleship that needs to be deployed or something like that.
Or even if it's just, like, the ESS, right? Like, you just link to it and you just gotta wait 2 minutes or something to switch it off for a certain amount of time or indefinitely till they come switch it back on. Like, that's, to me, that's a lot more fun than just, we need to remove this from the game. Or we need to nerf this into non-existence, because that's adding something new rather than taking away stuff. That's just my opinion.
It's a good, yeah, definitely good kind of mindset that you kind of want to go into with these games. Is, you know, add more and try not nerf and create less and take out stuff that's already there. So it sounds like your main focus is going to be on faction warfare, low sec.
Actually,
is there any other... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so my main focus is more sort of quality of life and accessibility changes.
Oh, okay.
That's a big thing for me. Faction warfare and wormholes is what I'm familiar with, so I've got a few changes relating to those as well. But if I had to pick a focus, it would be those things.
Oh, yeah. Tell us then, what's some of the stuff that you'd like to fix up on the quality of life avenue?
So quality of life, I think a lot of it is interfaces. A big one is the skills interface. I think it's very poorly designed. And if you look at websites like Aderon.org, it's a lot easier to see, like, this skill improves CPU, or this list of skills will improve CPU, this list of skills will improve power grid. But actually in-game, searching for CPU improvement or something like that, it doesn't work. You have to know the name of the skills. So for a newer player...
I've run into this problem, actually, recently, because somebody was like, why can you fit this ship? I'm like, I don't have any implants in or anything. I can fly this ship, and I'm perfectly fine. But you're missing 6 power grid? Like, where are you getting, where are you missing 6 power grid? And like, we couldn't find it. Like,
yeah, it's,
he,
like I say,
thought he had all of the proper skills for it, all the main ones, but there must be some skill out there that was, we just didn't realize.
And like the, there's external tools that present that information so much better. Like I mentioned, Aderon.org, for example, that's one I've used personally to go, oh, that's the power grid skill I'm missing. So I think actually bringing something like that in game will have a big impact. The next on quality of life is something like PI. I think the interface for PI is very poorly designed. On my forum post, someone asked me about it, and I showed, like, for an example factory planet that I've actually set up. To set it up took 400 clicks. Like, clicking to root materials, root inputs, all that, like, 400 clicks. Now, if you just introduced a copy and paste feature where I can, like, Control-C the setup for one factory, Control-V it into all the others, I worked it out, like, it came to something like 40 clicks or something like that. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but, like, more than like 10 times better. And I don't need to get repetitive strain injury by setting up PI, I think, so.
Yeah, no, I agree, definitely. It would be nice to cut down on the click game, that is. Because it's like, it's passive income, and I'm like, I don't know, have you done this? It's not super passive. I mean, there is a large passive aspect to it. After you get everything set up exactly the way that you want it, and then you do have to make some modifications if you want to get the, because, you know, like the area that you mine, is, you know, comes unmined. So you got to go in there and do a little bit. Then you got to go pick it up. Then you got to go drop it off. Like, there's already a lot. It's not just, you know, like, okay, do a couple of things. And then from now on, you're just getting ISK just pouring into your pocket. It's like, no, this is an activity. And yeah, cutting down on that initial clicking.
Yeah, and some people objected to that, saying that, you know, by removing that level of complexity, more people will do it and the prices for PI will go down. Now, I think there's better ways of trying to balance that kind of thing than just relying on bad interface design. So for me, like, complexity, there's different types. So you have the good complexity, which is like, you know, lots of different options to fit a ship, or, you know, working together as a gang to, like, come up with a strategy to win a fight or something like that. That's, like, good complexity. But bad complexity is complexity induced via interface design, and that's the sort of complexity I want to combat. So another quality of life is for scanners as well, being able to double click a signature to automatically send the probes onto that signature. And
I like that.
You already know where the probes want to go. Like, you have a plan on how you're going to do it, but just executing it takes, like, rotate once, click, that's one click, move it, click and drag, rotate again, click and drag, and you can just reduce that to one double click. And if you're doing a lot of scanning, that can make a difference. So that's the quality of life, or some of the quality of life suggestions that I'm putting forward.
And I do appreciate the talk on the PI. I am a PI person, and I've always just found it amazing. There is no way I could possibly do PI without using outside resources. There's just nothing in game that could help me log through that. Or slog.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff in game that needs to be improved for that, like tutorial wise and that sort of thing as well.
What about D-Scan? Are you for or against automating the button click that is?
I'm for it. Now, like, I don't mean that it should refresh every time you can, but maybe a bit like autopilot, it punishes you by, instead of refreshing, I don't know what the actual timing is, because I just sit there and basically just spam
it's
VO.
Like two seconds or so, yeah.
Yeah, but make like 5 seconds or something.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was like, yeah, you know, yeah. Once every 5 seconds, it kind of just goes through, because that's, I do spend so much time
just holding V.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah, that's actually on my list as well, the auto descan thing.
Awesome, I'm glad. You know, like, it sounds like you've got my vote so far, because we're, woo, like, solidly agreeing, except for that you're Keldari, you know, so that just, you know, just the little nick, you know, you can't be at the top. No, I'm joking. But no, yeah, these are some solid good ideas, solid suggestions. Some of them that I've never heard of, and I really like the ideas that you're kind of bringing to the table. And I like that your focus is quality of life type kind of stuff, because that's what can really help and encourage people to play the game. Is there any, like, NPE experience, kind of, or new player experience stuff that you would like see introduced into the game?
So ideally, like I said, a market tutorial is a big one. Now, like, we're all used to the market in Eve, but I still remember when I first started, like, I got really confused by it. Like, and it was like, why is it changed when I jumped to a different system? Because I didn't even realize it was like a regional market and not like a global market. But like, I think just a tutorial, even if it's just a video in game that then goes through like, these are like the buy orders, sell orders, this is like your tax rate, this is like what the moving average is, this is like, you know, these bars represent how much stuff people have actually bought, and maybe even tell them what the trade hubs are. Like,
yes!
Jitter is a big trade hub. Like,
I remember the first time that I like was playing the game and running around in Galente space. It wasn't near Dodixie, it was, what the hell is its name? Anyways, and a non-starter type, well, I mean, it's like this one of the starting areas ish but, you know, like, in order to get something, it was like, okay, I jump like 15 jumps over here, go grab this, go back 10 jumps, oh wait a minute, now I'm in a different, you know, like, as I'm transitioning, I'm realizing that there's a different market all of a sudden that I'm in. You know, you're looking at weird stuff, you're jumping all over the place, knowing about the trade hubs, I think, that's obviously should, I mean, they even acknowledge that they are in-game, that they are trade hubs.
Yeah, like, it's called Jitter Trade Hub now, isn't it?
Right. You also can't drop any structures in these systems. They're very, you know, special in their own regard. Point them out to players. That would be, yeah, I completely agree with that. And yeah, the marketing aspect, you just have to learn. I mean, that's a lot of what spreadsheets in space is. It's like the concept of Eve is that you actually, yeah, if you want to build something or sell something, build and sell something, oh my god, like, the massive amount of spreadsheets that you need for this game is huge. You know, maybe giving a little bit of help there, I can see that being really helpful. Nightflyer, you have any cool questions for our guest here?
No, I do have some, but just to put on my two cents with the market thing, there's something that's always kind of baffled me, is the fact that when you go into the market, I can't, in game, I can't check prices at other markets in the system. Like, the technology's not that hard.
That's actually on my list.
Think that they would have that. Like, why do I have to go to a third-party thing to find out what Cheetah is selling compared to Dodixie? It doesn't make 100% sense.
100% agree. And I honestly think, like, another general thing is, like, if the data is available on the ESI and, like, people have built tools, it shows there's, like, a demand for a particular thing. And one of those, like, there's loads of different tools for checking the markets. And it's like, well, why can't you just do a drop-down for region and pick whatever region you want? Yeah, I've got that on my list, actually, as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that on this planet. Like, you're where, Japan, something over that.
I'm in Japan.
So, I mean, I can check the market in Japan and tell you what gold is selling for in Japan just as easy as I can here in the States. So, I don't think
not possible in technology the far future, my friend.
No, it doesn't get outside the role play of the game.
Yeah,
but other quality of life issues. A couple of things that people have been talking about, like name changes. Do you support or are you against name changes? And what criteria would you use?
I think maybe limited name changes, because I'm not sure it'd be healthy to have people being able to change their names constantly, because I don't know, I feel like that could be used to gain access to groups and pretend you're someone different, that sort of thing. But I don't know, like maybe like you can do it once or twice, or you know, there's some kind of time limit on it maybe for name changes.
Yeah, see, and I always put out there too, like you could make it so it would be expensive, like it's going to cost you $29.95 US to change your name once, and you can do it, I don't know, maybe once, I don't know, or it's going to cost you 1,000 plex in game to do it or something. So yeah, if you really want to do it, it's going to cost you.
At the very least, you'd have to leave a paper trail of, it's similar to like your crew history, you'd have to have a name history.
Yeah, you'd have to have an AKA on your bio. Like if you pull up someone's bio, it'll say like also known as Frozen Fallout, also known as, you know, so and so.
I have to say that I'm staunchly in the no, never change the name. The only time that your name should get changed is when it's profane, and therefore you get to become Kaldari Citizen 5344151525, and you're stuck with that forever because you had a nasty name, and that should get sussed out pretty quickly if it's actually a nasty name, not this like whining, crying, you know. But anyways, I think that that's an interesting aspect of like Eve that's been talked about actually recently a lot on like Reddit and stuff. And I was like, I kind of agree with that. It's your name in Eve is really important. Now if you want to change your sex, I think that that's perfectly fine, but you just got to keep your name.
Fair enough. For me, it's that's not something that's on the list I made, and it'd be nice. I think like it might be a nice idea, but it's not something I'm not very passionate about, if that makes sense. So, yeah. So,
but again, it's up to CCP to make these changes. It's their game.
Yeah,
they're gonna do their thing.
Well, I mean, for the CSM, it's our job to advocate for the changes that people want to see. Because at the end of the day, right, the users who use the product have insights into that product that the people who develop it might not necessarily have. And it's our job to make sure we... So for example, like with the accessibility stuff as well, like Eve Online is a bit behind when it comes to like making things accessible, for example, for colorblind people. So I have a few suggestions relating to that as well, as well as the auditory impaired as well. Like it's a bit behind.
I don't think most people realize Eve has sound. I just had it on today on a new alt I started up. The sound was in the background. I'm like, what is that noise?
Most of it is just immersion, right? Like, you know, the sounds of rockets blowing up, that kind of thing. But there is some of it, like, you know, the alarms for shields, that kind of thing, which are important to notice, because, like, you know, you don't want to, oh, shit, I've got no shields. but, like, even if, like, you could have a dialogue box that popped up and just said, low shield or something, like, as an optional thing.
Yeah, that option of, toggle on and off.
Now with this AI being able to read a lot better than the, you know, 10 years ago, it would be nice if everything was read to you, people with poor eyesight and stuff like that.
That's a really good idea. I'm going to write that down. Give me a moment.
I mentioned it because I have poor eyesight, and if I don't put on my glasses, like, I am not reading anything, you know, but I could still play Eve. I just couldn't read what was, you know, being spoken to me, if anything. I'm glad that we got something to add on to the...
That's going straight on the list. The only visual impairment stuff I got so far relates to more color blindness, and that's just because of my personal experience with struggling to do like visual wormhole identification and matching ECM modules.
My son is severely colorblind too. He's
I've got a little bit of color blindness as well. I'm not affected by games very much. I definitely say stupid things like, that's a black bike. It's like, no, that's dark green. Oh.
Again, it's just those little things every once in a while comes up. We're watching the new Star Wars last night, because my kid came home from college, so we were watching it, and he's like, she has a yellow lightsaber? I'm like, no. It's just like, aw, come give me a hug.
No. What do you think about the different sounds, like station, like being able to manipulate, and then the jukebox would be another one that I'll throw in on top of this, but being able to manipulate how loud sounds are inside of stations and stuff like that, more options of sound pointed out by Glur.
That would be a good idea. And is that not already a thing? Like, could you not
there's
already
somewhat,
like,
but there's not like station sounds or the D scan sound. You can't make it higher or lower or anything like that. It's all wrapped up into one thing. So,
hey, that seems like it. I hope. I mean, I'm not a developer for Eve, but like that sounds like something that shouldn't be too hard to implement. And for some people, I think that'd be pretty cool. Like if you're sick of hearing the announcements in Jitter Space Station over and over again.
Right, yeah, it gets a little repetitive after a little while.
Get the Eve soundtrack stuff in the background's fine too. I mean, it's good
stuff. Do you think about the jukebox? Do you think we should get the jukebox back? Is that important?
I don't. Can you tell me about the jukebox, sorry?
Oh, like, really? You don't know about the jukebox?
No,
that's right.
I don't
that's
know about
weird. It's been a long time since we've had the jukebox. So back in the day, we used to have the ability to select what music we wanted to listen to. So there was a jukebox that you could just, when you go into the escape menu in the sounds area, it was like, here's your jukebox, what song do you want to listen to, or do you want us to pick out the sound, you know, the song for you? And so you could set up your list of what you wanted to listen to, and switch between different stuff, and, you know, it wasn't anything really that special other than you got to pick your music, and now you're stuck with whatever space, you know, wherever you are in space is kind of, I don't know, it gets kind of repetitive right now. And I like the Below the Asteroid song. Like, I just want to have that playing all the time, you know?
Yeah. Truth be told, I play with the music muted. But no, they got rid of that? Why did they get rid of that?
I'm not sure why. Yeah, they wanted to make it more, you know, wherever you are is the song that they picked out for you, and it's, I don't know, just like, it's not, I really, really miss being able to, like, just have it randomly go through different music, because, like, right now, you're right, the music is not very important. In fact, actually, what I do is,
Chris, gonna stop being the jukebox for us.
I just go to the SoundCloud that they have of all of the EVE Online songs, and I play that instead of listening to the in-game music.
I'd like
to see them, like, I'd like to download my own music, you know, if every time a battle started, like, Queen would start playing or something.
That would be even more epic, but you might have some problems with that.
Yeah, I was about to say, wouldn't there be, like, legal issues with that, like,
well, I mean,
I don't know, like licensed music, that sort of thing.
I mean, really, you just put an MP3 player into the game, right? Maybe, but then I mean, you'd have problems with the streaming for sure.
If people are putting MP3s into the game that are like pirated or something like that, is CCP responsible? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I can imagine there'll be problems.
A little bit too. Yeah. I mean, you've got an MP3 player on any computer that you play EVE on, so you can play.
Yeah.
But it would be cool that it would be cool, like, if you go into a battlefield, it plays, like, you know, like the heavy metal song.
Or classical music to keep you calm as you give orders to people who are ignoring everything you say.
Some Yanni or Enya comes on.
Yeah. It's like, did he say jump? Jump? I was like, oh, God, no.
We were talking about how, like, some of the details, like with your character, you know, we talked about the cat ears and stuff,
I don't think we talked with cat ears.
We didn't talk about that in this, but we can talk about that later. But we were talking about, like, you can have hair or you can have a hat, but you can't have both. And I'm like, why can't I have long hair? I would like to have long hair. I'd like to have a long beard too. I mean, all three of us are beard people, but I mean, I would like to be able to at least. You know, dial in the length of beard that I want. I can either have it close to my face or I can't have one. So it seems, you know, I'd like to be able to make my character fatter so he's more like, you know, myself. The fat and old. Let's see if we can work on those buttons too.
I'm just writing that one down. More character customization options. Sorry, I'm gonna go through all these. But yeah, sorry.
Awesome. No, it's good that you're keeping track of stuff like that. That's solid. What? How do you fall on the cat ears? Do you think that cat ears like should be an Eve?
No, sorry. I'm not a fan. Only because like, I like the immersion that Eve presents. So like some of the ship skins are a bit silly, but for the most part, you know, they're relatively serious. And I don't know, I'm just worried it'll make the game look silly. I really hated the station skins when they came out, because I remember on the CCP Facebook group, like, the one that they posted, and I was like, oh my god, they've like deliberately picked the most hideous way of making this skin as they possibly could. And yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it personally. Like, customization, yes, I like it, but like, customization that just doesn't look god awful, or like, doesn't really fit with the universe of Eve.
Which is Eve's official stance, actually, CCP's official stance on cat ears at this point, is that they're like, it's not Eve Online.
Yep. I'm inclined to agree with CCP, sorry.
Yeah, I could argue for your character if you want to put a, you know, whatever, but not on the ships and stuff. I think that. No,
definitely not on ships.
Yeah, because you know I like the immersion of it too. I don't want it to become, you know, like some other games that just become too cartoony. I don't want to be playing a cartoon spaceship game.
I mean, if it was a cartoon spaceship game, sure, but it's not, like we said. So
right,
yeah, it's a dark and gritty, evil, like, teach you that scamming is actually allowed in a video game, like. I think this is like one of the only video games that you could like openly scam people, and CCP is like, yes, that's Eve.
But like the story as well is like really good, because like a lot of games they have the good guy faction, the bad guy faction, but this is like, yeah, everyone's just shit, but like different levels of shittiness.
shitty in very different ways, but they're all definitely shitty.
Yeah,
the Galente are not running a utopia. The Mimitar are not just the, you know, slave fighter, you know, like freedom fighters that are, you know, were once slaves. Like, they have their own fucking problems. Like, if you actually look into the each individual culture.
Yeah,
but we can all agree.
I think
that
it's more realistic as well.
Right?
Wait, what was that?
Snuff sucks. We can all agree.
Oh yeah,
we can
all agree. Snuff sucks. That's,
they're the bad guys. They're always the bad guys. We love
them.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Snuff.
They are the bad
guys.
No. Well, and I wouldn't want them to not be in Eve. I just.
Oh no.
They just.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying we should do anything about Snuff, but yeah. I'm sorry. Any Snuffed here watching? Please vote Rico still.
Bro. No. We love to hate you, Snuff. We love to hate you.
But yeah. Is there anything else specific that you're really passionate about advocating for on the CSM?
So I've done the quality of life, accessibility, some faction warfare stuff. I wouldn't say I'm really passionate about this, but it was suggested, like, there's a lot of people who believe that wormholes need a bit of rebalancing, especially the higher tier ones, because it seems to be too easy to farm lots of IS compared to the amount of IS that's being lost. I need to do some more data analysis on that, but one thing I would advocate to change that is additional statics to C5 and C6 holes. But yeah, I think apart from that, I don't think there's anything I'm particularly like overly passionate about. One thing actually that does bother me a little bit, because I spoke to a German streamer, is everything is done in English for the CSM stuff. Like the CCP interviews, all of that, it's all just English only. And even if they had someone there to translate to different languages, like as they did the interviews or something like that, like that could go a long way of, you know, taking into account the parts of Eve that don't speak English, because, you know, it's a big community as well. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a global game. I mean, there's only one country that can't, you know, technically play on our servers, but they do anyways. So I mean, we've got the whole world pretty much that can play this game. Localization, I'm surprised, is not a huge priority for making sure that everybody can understand the game that they play. I mean, it is, you know, using English as a crutch is I'm from America, so I understand that. I use it as my crutch. It's my only way of being able to communicate with people besides using AI to help me, so...
So CCP have done a good job so far of, like, translating the game to different languages. But I think, like, some, especially, like, the CSM stuff, that kind of thing, and other...
Like, the CMS notes should be translated, you know.
Yes.
And not just by, the, you know, a shitty AI that does that, you know, for you, but it's not really that good. It should be an actual person that is localizing those, that information. Yeah, I could see that. That makes a lot of sense. I said it, didn't I? I said CMS, didn't I? Ah.
We have a drinking game. Whenever he says CMS, we drink, so...
I'm also dyslexic, so, you know,
I was about to... I wasn't going to ask, because, like, that seems a bit personal, but, yeah, I understand your pain.
I always had a problem with D's and B's. This is a bitches. Or ditches. I don't know.
Yeah. The school thought you were stupid because you can't spell sort of thing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been really awesome. Before we go, though, I always want to just make sure that there's a spotlight on our guest. If you've got any projects that you're working on, any websites that you want us to go to or check out, you got a YouTube channel or Instagram or OnlyFans, you know, if I want to see, you know, more of you, you know, what's going on in your world? Where can we find out more about you?
So I have my CSM forum post, and on that there's also a link to a Discord server where people are free to join and discuss ideas with me, which I then work into the list that I've built. I do have a YouTube channel, but I'm not particularly active on it. I think I've literally got one recruitment video on there, so there's not much point plugging that or anything like that. That's about it. Sorry, I'm not very active on social media and that kind of thing, so...
You're trying to run for president now. I mean, for...
I know, I'm sorry.
You gotta get you gotta get social, man. Just definitely shoot over any links to me or anything that you want me to your, like, Discord and stuff. That's definitely solid.
Awesome.
And is there any shout-outs that you want to give? Anybody that inspires you and Eve, or another fellow CSM, person that's running?
I would like to first of all give a shout out to Sienna for helping to facilitate or helping me get to some of these interviews. Same with Lambda. He also pointed a few out to me, because as you've seen, I'm not very good at this whole social media meeting people sort of thing.
Just
so,
that's what you get. Hire somebody to do it for you. That's what all the politicians do.
Yeah, I suppose, but no, I'm not that rich, so so I'm very, very grateful to them. I'd like to give a shout out to Angry Mustache, actually, another CSM candidate, just because, like, when we were talking, he started throwing graphs at me, and that makes me very happy, because I like well-reasoned responses rather than more dogmatic ones. I think, and I really apologize for all the other people I've not given a shout out to, but I do appreciate a lot of people, and there's way too many to name right now, so...
Don't forget your mother and...
Oh, yeah, of course, my parents and all of that. But I thought that was just generally accepted as...
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great to hear your side of things, and definitely hear what ideas that you have for EVE Online. And I agree very strongly. I think that you've got my vote for sure. So,
thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening, for those that are just on the podcast. And definitely check out Golden Age Stories in-game EVE Online. Also, there's iRed. And I'm sorry, what was your corporation's name?
Cariola's Legacy.
Yes, I keep it. Yeah, I love that name, too.
Yeah, that is a great name.
That is a really good name. Check them on out if you want to join up with the Kaldari, or you want to join up with Galente, or just get into Faction Warfare space and check out things. There's a bunch of people to shoot, a bunch of fun. You can make some money if you join up, though. So, but thank you all. Have a great night, and see you out in space.
Good night, everybody.